We now have our first two quarter-finalists after another goal frenzy in the UEFA Champions League. In North London, Arsenal scored early to give them some hope, but a Bayern second-half masterclass saw them emphatically win across the two legs.
It's five again for Bayern München, and they are sounding a warning to all who remain in the UEFA Champions League. Five-star, Bayern München are at it again.
Meanwhile, in Italy, Napoli had their opportunities, but it was the defending champions who progressed, courtesy of their inspirational captain, Sergio Ramos.
Outswinger this time, another header goalwards. It's taken a deflection, and it's gone in, and Real Madrid lead on the night, and are surely comfortably ahead on aggregate now.
So all the best analysis and reaction from both of Tuesday's round of 16 encounters to come. Plus, we look ahead to Wednesday's ties, where Barcelona need to come back from four goals down against Paris Saint-Germain at the Camp Nou. Whilst in Dortmund, can the Germans overturn a 1-0 defeat from the first leg against Benfica? Stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, loads and loads of goals. We have our first two quarter-finalists. Incredible drama once again.
Yeah, well, we needed two fantastic comebacks, didn't we? And there was a chance, Rob, because both Napoli and Arsenal got the first goals. But then champion clubs hit back. True UEFA Champions League contenders hit back. And that is exactly what Bayern did, more emphatically. They were brilliant, and Real Madrid, having weathered a huge storm in Naples, Sergio Ramos again. What a player, what a leader he is. We thought two goals, the second is actually an own goal, but both of those clubs, we wouldn't want to play them in the quarterfinals. Again, laying down markers as to why they have lifted this competition, this trophy so many times, and why they are real contenders to do so again in Cardiff in a few months' time.
A reminder of Tuesday's round of 16 second leg tie results. They finish like this. Napoli 1, Real Madrid 3. Napoli 2, Real Madrid 6 on aggregate. Arsenal 1, Bayern 5. A repeat of the scoreline from Munich. So Bayern through 10-2 on aggregate. Of course, plenty more to come on that game from North London. But we'll begin with Napoli against Real Madrid. This was watched for us by Steve Wyeth.
Hamsik into the path of Mertens. Mertens is in, and Mertens has scored the goal to give Napoli hope. Left-footed under the goalkeeper Navas. It's just what Napoli required, and this tie is very much alive. Napoli 1, Real Madrid 0 on the night. It is now 3-2 on aggregate.
Corner kick from the left-hand side, curled in right-footed, Ramos with the header.
Equalising goal on the night for Real Madrid. A towering header from their captain Sergio Ramos. And that puts Real Madrid in an altogether more comfortable position. 4-2 now in their favour on aggregate.
Here comes Kroos to take it.
Outswinger this time. Another header goalwards. It's taken a deflection and it's gone in. And Real Madrid lead on the night and are surely comfortably ahead on aggregate now. Reina makes a save from Ronaldo. And then on the follow-up, Alvaro Morata, the substitute, buries it into the empty net. And that is job done for the holders of the UEFA Champions League.
Well, a very professional second-half display. I think that might be the word to use from Real Madrid, and an inspirational performance from Ramos. Steve Wyeth, our commentator for this game, joins Chris and myself now. Steve, how would you sum up what we saw in Italy on Tuesday night?
Warning signalled that the holders are very much in contention to become the first team to successfully defend the UEFA Champions League, because this was not easy tonight by any stretch of the imagination. They came up against a Napoli team that for 50 minutes played with flair, determination, created all the attacking football and really had Real Madrid rattled. It was that corner on 51 minutes, headed in by the skipper, Sergio Ramos, who completely turned the tide of the game. He inflicted another wound 6 minutes later with his header deflected in off Mertens to make it 2-1 on the night. And it was tie over at that point. Suddenly, Napoli went from needing to score one more goal to go through on aggregate on the away goals, sorry, in their favour, to suddenly needing to score four. It happened in the blink of an eye, and it was real expertise from Real Madrid to ride the storm and then simply kill off their opponents in next to no time.
Yeah, we could write a book on Sergio Ramos moments in the UEFA Champions League, and we had another in Naples. You know, the man that has scored two goals in the final wins recently against Atleti when he's been needed. And again, up until his first header, you know, Napoli were on top. It was a fearless display. They were pretty much perfect. They hit the post in the first half as well through Dries Mertens. They might look back on, they didn't have wonderful opportunities to double their lead, but they certainly had the whole game. But Real Madrid's managed to get over that in the face of adversity this season. We've seen it so often, they find a way through, whether it's being resilient when they're all up against it collectively or whether it's individuals coming up with moments. And Ramos did with two. He won't be credited with the second goal because it was Dries Mertens' own goal, but he still won the header from the corner. From Napoli's point of view, I think they will look back at how they reacted to 1-1 because they were still totally in the tie, but they weren't able to pick themselves up off the floor. And the second goal arrived, and then it was game over with, what, more than half an hour to go.
And it was a fascinating contrast between the clearly tactically astute Maurizio Sarri and the Napoli dugout, who'd set his team up so superbly well to effectively be overwhelmingly the better side for 50 minutes. And the alternative approach to Zinedine Zidane, you sense is the master man manager in terms of sending out this world-class squad that he's got at his disposal and ensuring that they are perfectly prepared to deliver when is required. And he had this tactically well-drilled Napoli side who was suddenly being dismantled by world-class individuals, and it just happened to be that it was Sergio Ramos tonight. But it could have been anybody who'd stepped up, taken responsibility, taken individual responsibility to grab the tie by the scruff of the neck.
I think in terms of learning, and Napoli are a club on the rise. This was only their second ever trip to the last 16, remember? And it felt like that. It felt like a huge evening for them. The atmosphere was fantastic. Fans were in the stadium. It was full with 2 hours to go before kickoff. But how they need to learn is when they look at Madrid, when things weren't going right. Did Madrid panic? No, they didn't. They kept their shape. They were tactically, they still believed in themselves. Whereas when they scored Real Madrid, and Napoli had that similar moment when they needed not to panic, I think they did a little. And Real Madrid took their chances when they arrived, and you would not want to face them in the last eight. They're not playing vintage, if you like, free-flowing Real Madrid football, but we didn't see that last season. If you remember, in the last 16, they beat Roma over two legs, and Roma had a lot of chances in that tie. But Real Madrid found a way through and then went all the way. And you wouldn't back against them doing the same in 2016-17.
Part of the thing that stood out for me in the second half is that they did this really without a major impact from any of that front three. Mm. I mean, Bale, you know, he's coming back from injury, suspended the weekend. Ronaldo not 100% based on what we heard of the weekend. They didn't really need, they weren't the players who delivered tonight, Steve.
Well, talked about it before the game, that there is a growing feeling in Madrid that other players take responsibility when one or more of the BBC, Bale, Benzema and Cristiano Ronaldo aren't available. Well, they were on the pitch, at least from the start, altogether tonight. Both Bale and Benzema came off during the course of the second half. But even though they were on the pitch, because they weren't functioning with the fluidity that perhaps we would expect from them. And it was just the second time in 26 Real Madrid games that those three players had started together, what with Bale's injuries and suspension and one or two other problems that Benzema and Ronaldo have had throughout the course of the campaign. It needed somebody else to take responsibility. That happened. Sergio Ramos was the player.
Yeah, he was. And again, it's difficult to put into words how important Sergio Ramos is. Even in the first half, when they were up against it, you felt like he was a leader, and Pepe too at the back.
That calm presence at the back, even under pressure.
Under pressure. You know, winning challenges that are important because they don't even lead to a chance, which I don't think Napoli had in their locker ultimately when things went against them. What you would say from Napoli's whole run in this competition, though, is how impressive. And, you know, that atmosphere in the first 50 minutes, their display, if that doesn't give them genuine belief that they can compete at the very top level in this competition when they'll hope to be back next season, then nothing will.
Yeah, they've got the taste for it now. They've got to sort of take the energy from the Stadio San Paolo tonight and allow that to motivate them to try and ensure that at the very least they finish second to Juventus in Italy, so they'll go straight into the group stage of the competition next season, that they'll perhaps get a decent draw again in the group stage, that they can win their group, that perhaps the draw will be kinder for them for the last 16, because you do need those little bits of luck. You need to take the experience, you need to build upon it, you need to learn your lessons and make sure that you come back stronger, and hope the roll of the dice perhaps favours you along the way as well. There's no reason why the players at Napoli have got there, and the tactical nous of Maurizio Sarri and the effort and the application of that squad, that looks to me like a UEFA Champions League quarter-final team, if they can just be a little bit more ruthless and improve the game management.
Steve, thank you. Get thinking about your man of the match for Real Madrid's 3-1 win at Napoli, 6-2 on aggregate. But next we go to London on Matchday Live, where Arsenal had a mountain to climb against Bayern in their second leg. John Bradley, watch this one.
Walcott gets the ball back from Olivier Giroud, breaks into the penalty area, and Arsenal score! Theo Walcott explodes into life in this game. Ospina stands on his goal line. Lewandowski addresses the ball with his right foot. It's a 5-6 pace runner, a little stutter, and rolls it into the bottom corner. And it's in, it's Arjen Robben who scores. Wonderful finish by the Dutchman. And Arsenal are done now. Arjen Robben, who scored a UEFA Champions League winner in London, now confirms Bayern Munchen's place in the last eight. It's Douglas Costa, support from Ribery and from Lewandowski. Douglas Costa goes on his own and scores beautifully into the bottom corner. They could have another now, because Xabi Alonso's released the ball and Vidal clips the ball home into the bottom corner of the net. That's another ball that's released. Douglas Costa runs onto it. Onside, it's Vidal, it's another. It's five again for Bayern München.
Well, what a convincing second half display for Bayern. 5-1 winners away at Arsenal. One of their goal scorers on the night is their Dutch winger Arjen Robben.
Today the first half was not good. We didn't play well, we were not aggressive enough. Just what we spoke about the game, what we had to do today and what we expected. Of course, a tough game day. They would go for everything and for their last chance. Of course, the second half was good. The penalty and the red card, of course, changed the game as well. And then we finished it off well. But I mean, for the quarterfinals, I think the first half like today, we cannot do that again.
Goals in both legs for Arjen Robben, although it's normally with his left leg that he does score them, cutting inside as he did tonight as well. John Bradley, we're going to hear from the two head coaches very shortly, but there was a real message from Bayern, and as Arjen Robben said there, the red card and the penalty was the turning point of the match.
Yeah, and so it turned out to be the case. Mission impossible in the UEFA Champions League. Rob remains just that. Before tonight, no one had ever overcome a four-goal first leg deficit in this competition. And in truth, Arsenal never really threatened to do that. Yes, they got in front thanks to Theo Walcott's goal and had a couple of other chances as well. But as Arjen Robben said there, Bayern always played like they had something to spare. And once they got to half-time at 1-0 and Olivier Giroud had put a header over the top just a couple of minutes into the second half, it was never going to be an historic night for Arsenal. And the whole balance of the game shifted with the penalty and the red card. Laurent Koscielny going off again with the score at 1-0. It was 1-1 when he went off, of course, 3 weeks ago in the Fussball Arena in München. And, of course, Bayern went on to score four more. Well, tonight they scored five once he went off. And that, of course, the critical factor over these two games. Arsenal losing their captain to an injury in the first leg and to a red card in this one. And from there on in, it was just a matter of how many that Bayern would score on the night. And just like they did 3 weeks ago, it was five.
How impressed do you think Carlo Ancelotti will be, John? It sounds like an utterly ruthless display, given the size of the lead they had from the first leg.
He wasn't impressed with them for 50 minutes of the game. That, I can tell you, he's not very happy with them at all for the first half performance. He felt they were pretty poor. But from there on in, they did make a statement and they played some classy football. Arsenal, yes, they capitulated, particularly when the red card came and then when Robben scored as well. And Bayern then really had it all their own way. And as I say, it was a matter of how many scored. They ended up with five, but They attacked with some devastating pace and power tonight, Bayern, and looked very, very frightening.
Well, you mentioned him there. Let's hear from the Bayern head coach, former Chelsea manager as well, Carlo Ancelotti.
Until the penalty, the game was really difficult. Arsenal played for 60 minutes really well, putting a lot of pressure in the game, and we have difficulty defensively and also with the ball, and we did mistake that we are not used to do, but at the end, we knew this, that was difficult, but at the end it's important to reach the quarterfinal and to look forward.
7 points clear in the Bundesliga and into the quarterfinals. Things looking very good for Bayern, who are still unbeaten since they lost to Rostov in the group stage back on November the 23rd. John, let's talk about Arsenal tonight. Where will Arsene Wenger start to reflect? Where will Arsenal fans start to reflect on what they've seen in North London?
I think that the decision-making over the first half probably let them down a bit. Yes, they got Walcott's goal, but he could have had another when he fired into the side netting. Giroud just shaved a post as well, but quite often when they got into good areas, they made poor decisions. But ultimately, the story will tell you that it's Arsenal's biggest ever home defeat in European competition. Previously, a 5-2 defeat to Spartak Moscow back in September 1982. It's the biggest aggregate defeat for an English side in Europe. Wolves against Barcelona back in 1960 was the previous biggest at 9-2. And tellingly, seven seasons running, they have gone out of this competition at this stage, and the third time in those 7 years against Bayern Munich, and it tells you a lot about where Arsenal are and where they can't get past at the moment, and that will really frustrate Arsene Wenger.
Well, let's hear from Arsene Wenger now, who was asked post-match if this was his most disappointing European night.
I don't feel so, because we knew before the game it was difficult to qualify after the first game, but we wanted at least to minimum to go home and feel we dealt with the situation with pride and commitment, what we did, and the fact that the end result will, of course, not highlight the quality of our performance is very disappointing.
I mean, a lot of the talk in the English press, Chris, has been about, you know, how Arsenal's psychological strength, how they find it very difficult, and certainly in both legs, we saw situations where they couldn't quite hack the pressure, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 1-1 in the first leg, they concede 4 without reply. 1-0 up in the second leg, they concede 5 without reply. It is those moments, yes, an opponent of Bayern standards or all the other teams that they faced in the round of 16, frankly, in recent years are going to have moments and are going to score against you. But it's how you react in those moments. You wonder, I mean, Laurent Koscielny was sent off tonight, but when he was on the pitch over the two legs, they've 2-1 up against Bayern.
Well, I make it 77 minutes without Koscielny versus Bayern, and they conceded 9 times in that 77 minutes. John, did Bayern send out a message tonight that they're the real deal, they're pushing to win this trophy once again?
Yeah, it was the old Bayern as well with Robben and Ribery, but then they've got the people like Kimmich and Douglas Costa to come on as well, and Lewandowski seem really good form as well, so there's not many that will fancy taking them on. Nowadays, you fancy you have more of a chance against them going forward, but certainly there won't be too many who will want to take them on over two legs in the quarterfinals.
Absolutely right. John, thank you. Get thinking about your man of the match from the game in North London as well. Keep your tweets coming in. It is hashtag MatchDayLive. Coming up, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 ties. Barcelona host Paris Saint-Germain and Benfica travel to Borussia Dortmund.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nei til rasisme.
Non au racisme.
Nei til rasisme.
Non au racisme.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You are listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. Two more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the round of 16, starting with Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain. The Spanish champions, though, have it all to do after that incredible, truly incredible 4-0 first leg defeat in the French capital. Chris, it's not been done before.
No.
Barcelona don't have to make club history. They have to make European club football history to turn that around.
Yeah, they do. And given the way they played and Paris Saint-Germain played in the first leg, it is difficult to see. However, since then, and Luis Enrique says he has indestructible faith that they can turn it around or be in a position to. They're going to absolutely have to score the first goal or the first couple of goals, because if Paris Saint-Germain score, they need at least six, which Luis Enrique says, yes, we can score. 2012, Leo Messi got five on his own against Leverkusen at this round, and they scored seven that night. I think they're playing against the caliber of team Paris Saint-Germain, who are significantly higher than that. It will be the greatest UEFA Champions League comeback of all time. Simple as that, if they manage it. I don't think they will, because I think Paris Saint-Germain have too much going forward. It'll be interesting to see, because in the two games since that defeat, Rob, they've won against Sporting Gijón and Celta de Vigo domestically by enough to go through. And in the last game, they played three at the back because they were swamped in midfield at the Parc des Princes in the first leg. Will he do the same, Luis Enrique, on Wednesday? Will he try and add another member of somebody in midfield, Sergio Roberto, maybe? We'll have to see. But it's going to be a great game, because Barcelona's strength is going forward and they simply just have to attack.
Luis Enrique believes that his team can score six if they can concede four at Paris Saint-Germain. Let's speak to our commentator for this game now. Phil Blacker joins us. Phil, thank you very much for coming on the show. Are you a believer, Phil? Are you one of the people who think Barca can do it?
I wasn't, Rob, until maybe over the course of the last 24 hours or so. I'm starting to think it's a possibility. I still think, obviously, it's a long shot, isn't it? But it's not a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination. And as Luis Enrique made the point, if any team is capable of, he said six goals, didn't he, of scoring that at home in a UEFA Champions League game with a quarter-final place at stake, where they've got two for each of the last nine seasons, then it is Barcelona. If Messi has one of those nights, even if he doesn't, Neymar is capable of it, Suarez is capable of it. So it's possible, but I still think, because of the quality that we saw from Paris Saint-Germain in that first leg and Barcelona's failure to score an away goal in that first leg, that it's a remote possibility, but a little bit of intrigue still there, isn't there?
Phil, since the first leg, Luis Enrique has announced he's leaving at the end of the season. It seemed to galvanise them at the weekend domestically. Do you think it could have a similar impact on his players in Europe?
Possibly, Chris. I certainly don't think it will do any harm at all. Whether that is enough at this level to make the sort of difference that is going to be required, I'm not so sure. But it will only aid the motivation, not that they would have been lacking it, of the Barcelona players going into the game to try and turn this one around. It might have just added a little more impetus. And as you say, domestically, that certainly appears to have been the case. Whether it's Luis Enrique leaving, or whether it is, as I think you were just alluding to earlier, the tactical switch of three at the back, which seems to have worked really well for them over the last few weeks, is a matter of opinion. I think perhaps the both factors combined will have an impact. And if Barcelona can get a couple of early goals with that Nou Camp crowd behind them, then anything is possible. And I think, where Barcelona are concerned, that is pretty much always the sentiment, isn't it? Especially on a home night in the UEFA Champions League knockout stages.
I knew you were an optimist, Phil. Thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. Phil Blacker, our commentator for Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain. Di Maria, slight doubt for him ahead of the game. Barca in good shape. Alex Vidal with that long-term injury for them. Also on Wednesday, we do have the second leg of Dortmund against Benfica. Richard Connolly is across this one. Richard, you've got a much tighter affair, surely, in Germany.
You would think so, Rob. Yeah, good evening. I mean, with Benfica leading by 1-0 from the first leg, a match in which Borussia Dortmund had a penalty by Aubameyang saved, dominated the first half of that match but couldn't score, didn't get the away goal, means if Benfica do score at the BVB Stadion, then Dortmund will need three goals. So it's going to be nervous, it's going to be tight, but I think both teams very confident of reaching the quarterfinals.
Richard, I saw Thomas Tuchel quote a stat in his press conference about Dortmund going through 75% of all ties after losing 1-0 in the first leg. He's clearly very confident, and by all accounts he's going to set Dortmund up to attack.
Yes, I mean, I love that quote, as did you. I know he was asked about Dortmund's defensive record, in which this season they average the concession of at least a goal per game, which in the context of this tie would mean trouble for them. But he said if he was the coach of Chelsea or Juventus or Atletico Madrid, he might be worried. But when the floodlights are on and the people are behind them, then it's all about the attack. So I guess he is promising that if they do concede, then Dortmund will go and score three goals. And I guess since the opening leg, that defeat in Lisbon, they've scored three, they scored three, they scored six against Leverkusen. That's a significant change in form. When they went into the first leg, they'd just been beaten by Darmstadt, who were bottom and still are of the German Bundesliga. So that's got to give them some confidence, even though, as we know, Marco Reus was injured on Saturday and will be a huge loss to them.
He will. Tuchel saying that how can you possibly replace him? He's been in outstanding form. Seven wins in a row for Benfica. They're going to make this very difficult, aren't they?
They are, but I mean, they also have a key player out in Lubomir Fejsa, who is their kind of Casemiro of their midfield, really, an enforcer, the guy who gets them going. And if they are going to put a rear guard in place, you would think he would be a key part of that. But he's not going to be there through injury. So that is a problem for them to overcome. But will they be able to rely on firepower to get through themselves? Kostas Mitroglou, we know, is on extraordinary form. A man who, as you pointed out, grew up relatively close to the ground in Dortmund and will have his family in the stadium. 18 goals in his last 17 games, 15 in 2017 already. But Jonas is fit again, and he was Benfica's real goal-scoring threat, has been over the last two seasons or more. So he may come in as well. So, maybe Benfica will be relying on goals to get them through rather than trying to keep Dortmund at bay.
And this is a team, of course, who reached the quarterfinals last season in Benfica. I seem to remember they beat Zenit 1-0 at home in the last 16 as well, and won away in Russia. So they have plenty, of course, of historic pedigree in this competition, but also sort of current-day pedigree as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Chris. And their record in UEFA competition when they've won the first leg 1-0 is 1-12 and lost 1. So I think Rui Vitória will be confident the stats can back his team up too.
Richard, thank you very much indeed. Richard Connolly, our commentator for Borussia Dortmund against Benfica. Benfica 1-0 up. You can join us on Matchday Live from 19:30 Central European Time on Wednesday night. We have all the build-up action and reaction from both of those round of 16 ties, plus commentary, of course, of Barca, Paris Saint-Germain. Real Madrid through 3-1 winners at Napoli, 6-2 on aggregate. Steve, well, if we have reaction from the 11-time European champions.
Yeah, whatever happens on Wednesday night, nobody will want to play Real Madrid,
no,
will they?
No.
In the quarterfinals, their coach Zinedine Zidane says, I don't think we were lucky tonight, as good luck doesn't exist in football. The 3-1 result speaks clearly. The difference was made by our quality. He's right about that. Even if we suffered at times in the first half, we didn't get into the game properly, while Napoli did. Sergio Ramos has now scored 81 career goals for club and country. Those are insane numbers for a central defender. He said, I wanted to help with goals at a tricky time. He got one. We suffered, but we got through it together. We knew the formula then. Everything would be easy. Sometimes things don't go as you've worked on them, but effectively saying, we turned it around. We won the tie. We're through to the last eight.
And I think I know who your man of the match might be.
Yeah, because it comes down to one man sometimes on these big occasions, and that man was Sergio Ramos. He came up with the key goal for Real Madrid at a time when they were desperate for it.
OK, John Bradley, seeing Bayern win 5-1 at Arsenal tonight, your man of the match and why?
Easy to give it Arturo Vidal, who scored twice, but I think we could have scored those goals. And Xabi Alonso played in his carpet slippers tonight. He was so elegant. But I think Arjen Robben was the threat all night, even when Bayern was struggling in the first half. So let's give it to the Dutchman.
OK, Chris, you've got to pick someone else. Oh, your man of the night.
Oh, that is so hard, because that's an impossible task. Dries Mertens, he scored. He gave Napoli hope, gave us a wonderful moment. He hit the post, had that gone in. And Napoli might be in the last eight, but it's Real Madrid.
Chris, thank you. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. It gave us our first two quarter finalists. In Naples, Dries Mertens gave Napoli hope early on, but Sergio Ramos turned the tie back in favour of the defending champions, seeing Real Madrid through to the quarterfinals. Whilst in North London, despite Theo Walcott's first half opener, Bayern blew Arsenal away with 5 second half goals, winning 10-2 on aggregate. Join us tomorrow from 19:30 CET when we have full live commentary of Barcelona versus Paris Saint-Germain. Can Luis Enrique's men do what Arsenal couldn't this evening by coming back from 4 goals down? Until then, from Chris Parrott, John Bradley, Steve Wyeth, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Walcott gets the ball back from Olivier Giroud, breaks into the penalty area, and Arsenal score! Theo Walcott explodes into life in this game.
Hamsik into the path of Mertens. Mertens is in, and Mertens has scored the goal to give Napoli hope.
Lewandowski, it's a 5-6 pace runner, a little stutter, and rolls it into the bottom corner.
Equalising goal on the night for Real Madrid. A towering header from their captain, Sergio Ramos.
Here comes Kroos to take it out.
Swinger this time, another header goalwards. It's taken a deflection and it's gone in. And Real Madrid lead on the night.
It's 5 again for Bayern München. And they are sounding a warning to all who remain in the UEFA Champions League. 5-star. Bayern München are at it again.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.